Okay, this is week four, class two. Worship in spirit and in truth. All right, let's pick up now with private worship. The whole issue of private worship is one that I cannot emphasize highly enough. This, quite frankly, is going to be of more value to you than corporate worship. But someone could misinterpret that and think, oh, well, corporate worship's not that important. It is important. It is important. But what you get out of your private worship can really take you further in your relationship with God than what you get in corporate worship. And hopefully you'll understand that, and I'll be able to express it clearly enough. Private worship is frequently identified in the book of Psalms. Now, as you read the book of Psalms, there are times when David talks about worshiping in the congregation or praising in the congregation, things like that. But keep in mind where David was when he wrote a lot of the Psalms. He was tending sheep, right? Out there in the middle of nowhere by himself. So as he's talking about a lot of the worship and writing about this, these were things that he experienced when he was all alone. And so private worship is identified in the book of Psalms quite frequently. And then also, private worship is alluded to, but it is not specifically identified in the life of Jesus or in the lives of the apostles. Now, here's why I say that. It's difficult to worship. How can I put this? If you don't understand the value of worship, why worship when you're locked up in prison? I guess it's one way to put this. And when we see the example of Jesus worshiping when the 70 came back with their report and other places, it's alluded to, but it's almost like you have to read between the lines. So I'm not trying to create new doctrine, but what I'm saying is God's not going to tell us to do something that it would have been foreign to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying in this? Or would have been foreign to the apostles? In other words, he's not going to say, I want you to do something, even though Jesus never did it, and even though the apostles never did it, but I want you guys to do this. No. And the very fact that Paul wrote about, you know, ministering to yourself, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, means that he understood this concept. And so it's alluded to, but not specifically identified in the lives of Jesus and the apostles. However, when we are involved in private worship, it ministers to our soul and to our emotions. But guys, I'm telling you now, if you're going through a rough time in life, if you're down in the dumps, if the husband, the wife mean to you, the kids acting up, it doesn't matter, money problems, whatever. If your emotions are taking a beating, if you will force yourself to focus mentally on Jesus and begin to praise Him and worship Him, it will change the condition of your emotions. Because God does not worry about things. You understand that? God doesn't get all worked up over things. God is a God of peace. So if He inhabits our praise and our worship, that means when we begin to worship Him, His peace begins to fill the place where we are. And Paul talked about this somewhat there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. And I can speak from experience. There have been times where I have been, you know, the emotions were just not, you know, you know how it is. Sometimes you just feel kind of, you just don't like anybody and you don't want to like anybody. You just get kind of, you know how it is. And I have had to, now I didn't learn this overnight, but I had to get to the point of, you know, just here I am all, and I just kind of do a self-evaluation. Now, why am I feeling this way? There is no reason for this. I should not be feeling this way. And even though I don't feel like worshiping, if I force myself to start praising and worshiping the Lord, then it begins to change this thing. And I have to tell you, there have been times where I have done that, and it hasn't taken a whole long time, and I forget the emotions that I had been feeling, the grumpy, down in the dump, whatever emotions, I forget those. And I forget the circumstances maybe that were affecting them or whatever. It's hard to put into words what happens when this takes place. It's like something on the inside just completely changes, And you don't even know why you were doing this. Don't even remember how you felt when you were feeling that way. All you know is, whatever it was, it's gone. And praise God, it feels good when it's gone. Amen? And so I want to encourage you. It doesn't... You say, well, Brother Martin, you just don't understand my circumstances. You're right, I don't. I don't. But I can tell you this. Worship will turn that around for you. Your emotions now. Worship will impact you on that emotional level, on that soulish level, no matter what those circumstances are. And I'm not saying that it only takes 60 seconds. You know, it may be so rough, it may take you 15, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever. I don't know. But I do know this. The worship will impact you on that emotional level and will turn these things around for you. But you have to literally force yourself to do it if you want to experience that kind of change and impact. Your private worship will produce a deeper relationship with God. Now, there's an interesting phenomenon that can happen that I've heard many people testify about, that I've experienced, and I can explain it, but I can't explain it. You will experience the presence of God in corporate worship when everybody gets together. And everybody is worshiping the Lord, and everybody is having a good old time. You're going to experience the presence of God in a powerful way. But when you get together, or when you get alone, and you begin to worship Him, you're going to experience the presence of God in a deeper way, in a more intense way than what you do corporately. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll never experience God's presence in a very intense way corporately. But when you get together with the Lord, and it's just the two of you, and you're forcing yourself to worship Him, you will begin to experience His presence in a way that can only be produced through private worship. And some people could say, well, I just don't understand that. Well, then I guess you just have to take me by faith, so to speak, and do this. You say, well, how do I do it? There's always people around. Find a way to get alone. I don't know what that means, but find a way to get alone. You know, scenario. Pastor, is it possible for me to get into the church just so I can spend some time alone worshiping the Lord? No, Sister Brown, I'm sorry. We don't let people in the church during the week. There's no one there, and it's locked up, etc., whatever the excuse would be. I feel sorry for that pastor, because yes, I do agree there, you should watch the property and be secure, but if somebody comes and they say, I just want to get in and worship the Lord, to tell them no, you know, everything at home is too clamorous, I just want to be in a Sunday school class, pastor, or I just want to walk in the sanctuary, I just want to worship the Lord, can I get in the church to get alone and worship the Lord? If the pastor says no, man, you go home and you start praying about, God, what is going on? Help me understand what's happening here. Insurance companies hate it when keys get passed out to people. Trust me. But at the same time, you know, we're talking about people who want to come to church and worship the Lord, pray. How can we say no? How can we say no? But anyhow, what I'm getting at is, when you begin to worship the Lord privately, it's going to help you to become more familiar with His presence. You'll begin to understand how to... Okay, put it like this. You know how when you begin a relationship with someone, and it just starts out, you know, first date, second date, and you're really beginning to see each other. You're learning each other, are you not? You're learning what the other person likes and doesn't like, and this, that, and the other. Well, likewise with God, as you begin to worship Him, you begin to experience Him in a deeper way, and you begin to more clearly understand what it is He likes and doesn't like in your life. And as you begin to understand that, it's not a conviction kind of a thing. It's like He's talking to you and telling you. It's like all of a sudden you're sensing on the inside what He doesn't like, and you're starting to not like it the way He doesn't like it. So therefore, you start making some changes in your life. Not because you feel guilty so much, but you want to. You want to please Him. And the thing about it is, a lot of times when people begin to get into private worship, they base their worship on what they feel. Well, you can't go by what you feel. Because when you're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, it's not about your feelings. It's about what you're choosing to do. You are choosing to worship Him and give to Him what it is that He desires. As with praying in tongues, the more that you worship, the better. And your mind also must be forced to focus on God. This is extremely important. A lot of people say, well, my mind is scattered. I try to do something, my mind, keeps running off. Lasso your mind and pull it back in. And force your mind to think about Jesus. Force your mind to, come home from the vacation, whatever. Force your thoughts on the Lord. At first, this can be a severe challenge. But the more that you do it, you're going to experience His presence. And it's going to become more and more easy for you to stay focused on Him. And some of these things, it's almost like you have to experience it to really understand what I'm saying. But when you do this, it's as though you really begin to know Him. See, praying in the Spirit and fasting and all this other, it cannot do for you what worship does. There is something about worship that is so different and unique from these other things. In this private worship especially. Now I know for some people, we have people in the Bible college that are inmates. And it can be very difficult for them to find a place in the prison somewhere to worship the Lord. But maybe if you prayed about it, God could help you find a place where you can worship the Lord. I'm not saying this is always going to be easy. But what I am saying is, you'll get the results if you do it. When it comes to worshiping and this private worship, well, even in corporate worship, repetition is not wrong as long as the focus is on Jesus. For example, there are some people that are really critical if, in fact, this has even been said to me. Well, just saying the same thing over and over again. I love you, I love you. It just sounds like vain repetition. Well, it is a vain repetition if you're just saying something to be saying something. But when you're pouring it out of your heart, and I know for me there are times where, I just keep saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you so much, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. It's not a vain repetition. It's coming out of me. It's what I mean. It's what I am saying to Him. I love Him. And I'm telling Him, I love Him. It's not wrong to do that. Some people, I can usually tell when they're really not worshiping, when they're, it's like they're trying to come up with these grandiose statements. Especially when they start getting all King Jamesy in what they're saying. Thou art the Most High. I worship Thee. Hallowed be Thy name. And they start pulling all these things out. I'm sure they're really making a big impression on God. When you just begin to worship Him, when it's coming out of your heart, I bet He would even accept something like, there ain't no God but You, Lord. He's not going to say, hey, bad grammar. I don't receive that. You learn how to talk or don't you come and worship Me. When you begin to pour out of your heart, the repetition is okay. When it's coming out of here, when you're focused on Him. When it comes to your declarations of worship, what you're saying when you're worshiping Him. I mean, basically, you have three categories here. Who God is, what He has done, and your love for Him. Who God is. Oh God, you are the God. There are no other gods above You. Jesus, You are the Lord. You are Savior. You are everything, Lord Jesus. What He has done. Jesus, I thank You for healing me. I worship You, Lord Jesus. You saved me. You redeemed me. You delivered me. Your love for Him. Jesus, I praise You. I exalt You. I worship You. Oh, I love You so much, Jesus. So there are three different ways, essentially. Now, we're not trying to formalize all this, but see, you have to understand. Maybe every one of you in here tonight, this is old hat to you. But you have got to understand there are a lot of people out there, correspondence students, they have never heard teaching about worship like this. And they're going to churches that actually discourage this kind of worship. So this is opening up a whole new dimension for them. And for those of you that already know this, this is simply encouragement to you. It's simply, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Why, this is just building you up, so to speak. This is just encouraging you in your worship. Reading the Psalms can be a good instruction manual for worship. Turn over to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Just kind of look at this. Now, as we read through it, I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit to make it like a worship psalm. In Psalm 23, O Lord, You are my shepherd, and I shall not want. Now think about that. What if you just dwelt on that one statement over and over again? Lord, You are my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, You are my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what? Eventually, that's going to get so deep into your spirit, you'll stop fussing about what money you don't have. Because you're going to be convinced beyond any doubt the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want. Lord, You make me lie down in green pastures and You lead me beside still waters. Oh, thank You, Jesus. You restore my soul and You lead me in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Oh, Jesus, I thank You so much that You lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. And because of You, Jesus, I fear no evil. You are with me. Oh, Lord, Your rod and Your staff, they are a comfort to me. Thank You so much, Jesus, for preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thank You for anointing my head with oil. Oh, Jesus, my cup of love runs over for You. And I thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy that follow me all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, thank You for making it possible for me to dwell in Your house, Lord Jesus, forever and forever. Do you see what I'm saying? How you just turn this thing into like a declaration from your heart. And it's not wrong to do that because, you see, David has written prophetically. If you go through and you read some of these things David wrote, he wrote. Now, and you have to keep in mind, he was lost. He was not born again. Yet he writes things in here like a born-again person. Well, it's a prophetical type of worship. It's almost like God is saying, look, these things mean as much to David as they can possibly mean in his current spiritual state. But they're also prophetical for you, body of Christ, that is to come. And once you get here on the earth, you can go back and you can get an idea of the kind of worship that will bring you into my presence, that will draw me into your presence, that will cause us to be able to dwell together in greater and greater intimacy. Look over in Psalm 30. We'll kind of do the same thing here. I will extol You, O Lord. You have lifted me up and You have made it possible so that my foes do not rejoice over me. O Lord, You are my God. Jesus, I cry unto You and You always heal me. By Your stripes, Jesus, I was healed. And Jesus, You brought up my soul from the grave. You have delivered me, Jesus, from even depression. And You've kept me alive that I would not go down into the pit. Oh, I will sing unto You, Jesus. You are my Savior. I am Your saint. You have delivered me and I'm born again. I thank You, Jesus, at just the remembrance and the thought of Your holiness. I thank You that Your anger is not eternal, but Your favor is my life. I thank You that my weeping is only for a short time, but You give me joy. You give me prosperity. And because of You, Jesus, I shall never, ever be moved. Oh, I thank You, Lord, for Your favor. You have made me to stand strong, and You have not hidden from me, but You're always there for me. Even in those times when I'm troubled and problems are there, I thank You that You're there. I cry unto You, Lord, and You hear my supplication. You hear what I say. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You for the way that I can praise You no matter what my situations, that You hear me, O Lord. I thank You that You have mercy upon me. I thank You that You are my helper. I thank You that You've turned my mourning into dancing and shouting and rejoicing. And You've taken off all that old sackcloth of discouragement. You've girded me with gladness. You've wrapped Your arms around me. And I thank You that Your glory is worthy of praise. I praise You for glory. I praise You, Jesus, for Your presence. I will not be silent, Jesus. I love You. Oh, Lord, You are my God, and I thank You, and I give You praise and honor forever and forever. Are you getting the idea here? How that you can, all you have to do is go through and read this. And you can turn this thing around and make it your psalm of praise as you begin to worship Him. And what you're doing is you're training yourself to worship Him. Some people think you need to memorize the psalms and present those as your praise. No, It's not supposed to come from your head. It's supposed to come out of your heart. And when you make what He has written here your song of praise unto the Lord, and you begin to worship Him, you can sing these songs. Lord, You are my shepherd, I shall not want. You lead me beside green pastures. You understand what I'm saying? You can sing these things to the Lord. Look over in Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Get an idea of what's going on up in heaven. Revelation 7, just look at verse 9. It says that there was a multitude of people standing before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palms in their hands, crying with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And in verse 11, it talks about all the angels and so forth singing. But listen, verse 12, at what was being proclaimed. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and forever. So here you can take what's said there in verse 9, what's being said there in verse 12, and you can turn that into your own praise and worship. You can, blessing and honor to You, Jesus. Glory and power unto You, Jesus. I give You honor forever, forever, Lord Jesus. I worship You and I love You. Look in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And just look in verses 12 through 14. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. Amen. Praise You, Lord. I worship You. You live forever and ever. Can you see this in here? So now, think about it like this. If that's what they're saying in heaven, how can it possibly be wrong for us to say the same kind of things down here? Look over in Revelation chapter 4. That psalm on the mind, hallelujah. Verse 8. Look at what's being said. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Well, is it any coincidence that we have songs like this? And we sing things like... See, when we begin to worship Him, it's like God has given us instructions in His Word, the kind of things that we can say. Now, whether we memorize and repeat word for word, I mean, if that's, you can do that, but the thing is, the more you do that, eventually you should get to the place to where you're not just quoting from Scripture, you're pouring out of your own heart. And I tell you, when you get caught up in worship, when you get caught up in praising Him, it's not inconceivable that you just keep saying the same thing over and over again. Blessing and glory to You, Jesus. Blessing and glory to You. I love You, Jesus. I worship You. Blessing and glory to You, Jesus. Oh, my Savior and my Lord. Because you get so caught up in His presence. You get so caught up in who He is to you and who you are in Him that it just starts coming out. It just keeps coming out. You just want to worship Him. The value of private worship cannot be overstated. And again, free worship is key in corporate and private worship. A lot of people have talked about singing along with like tapes or CDs at home for private worship. And that's not wrong. Don't misunderstand me now. But the more that you can worship Him without the need for the cue cards, without the need for the recorded music, the more that you can just enter into that private worship, or the free worship at home alone, or the free worship there in your church services, the more that you can do that and just begin to pour out your heart to Him, you get I put it like this, you get the best response from God in that kind of free worship. And diligence is the key in this. This is so, so very important. One of the things that will take people out of worship quicker is a lack of diligence. The flesh and your emotions, they will tire after a while. Nothing says you have to stand the whole time. Nothing says you have to sit the whole time. I mean, you can lay and worship Him. Maybe more so in private worship. But it's not... Again, it's what's coming out of your heart. You see what I'm saying? There aren't any rules in this. You're at home. Remember, David talks about worshiping the Lord on his bed. You can lay on your bed and worship the Lord. Lay on the couch, lay on the floor, stand, sit, whatever. Because the body's not yet glorified. So it does have limits. You understand this? But yet, you can stand for a while, sit for a while, lay for a while, stand back up, whatever, to worship Him. Diligence is so very important in this. Your feelings will try and tell you to stop. But the thing is, you've got to control your feelings and force yourself to worship. And this is where some people will really come against the teaching along these lines. They'll tell you that if you don't feel God's presence, you're not getting anything out of worship. However, Jesus said that those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and that God is seeking such to worship Him. So as we begin to worship Him, it's not based on your feelings. It's based on what you are choosing to do. Remember what David wrote? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It's like he's saying, I don't care what you feel like. I'm telling you, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And some people will tell you that if you don't feel the Holy Ghost goosebumps or whatever up and down your back, if you don't feel the tinglies, then you're not getting anything out of it. No, you are getting something out of it. Because this worship in spirit and in truth, not in emotions and in truth, in spirit and in truth. So as you begin to worship Him out of your spirit, you are getting spiritual benefit. The thing is, time will... How many of you know, think of it like this way maybe. You know, you're feeling bad, you go to the doctor gives you medicine. You go, you get the prescription filled, go home, you take the pill. Now how many of you feel better 10 seconds after you swallow that pill? I mean, it's not even down to your belly yet. You know, it's still working its way down. It takes some time for the coating to be dissolved and the stuff to get to flow through your system and all that before you feel the effects of the medicine. Well, likewise, in the realm of your worship, when you worship Him, you are getting spiritual benefit from this. Corporate and private worship, you're getting benefit from this. And over time, the results of the worship will begin to show forth in your life and in your church. And again, I just can't emphasize enough the whole concept of the people in a local congregation making worship a priority. You know, I talk a lot about praying in tongues, and we're not diminishing that. But what we're wanting to do is also emphasize the whole aspect of worship. You know, I've shared with you, Hal, that we have music playing before our services, and that there are people who will show up and begin to worship the Lord. Feelings will try to get you to stop. The excitement wears off. The honeymoon wears off. And, I just don't feel like going early tonight to worship the Lord. You have to. Now, no rules and regulations. You know what I'm saying. But it's important that you do this, that you go in. And if you're in a church where this is done, get there early and worship the Lord, because what it does, remember, God inhabits this. It begins establishing a greater atmosphere that is conducive for His presence to move in a powerful way. And so when you're worshiping Him and you stay focused on Him, regardless of what your emotions or your feelings are telling you, you are getting spiritual benefit out of this. Now the Bible reveals, like when you get into like Revelation especially, the Bible reveals hours of uninterrupted worship in heaven. And I've heard people say, well, you know, when we get to heaven, it'll be all right. You know, we can do it there. Well, why can't you do it here? Why? God's the same. He never changes. Our spirit will not be any more born again in heaven than it is right now. So why can't we do it here? Well, because, Brother Martin, when we get into heaven, we'll actually see Jesus. I mean, we'll literally see Him there. Well, in John 20:29, when Jesus was talking with Thomas, He said, okay, Thomas, it's great that you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who believe who haven't seen. So therefore, God tells us it's possible to worship Him with just as much intensity here as it will be when we get to heaven. Now, I understand the circumstances will be different in heaven. And I'm not trying to tell you that it's going to be heaven on earth, that we're going to create heaven on earth through our worship. But what I'm saying is, if we can worship Him spirit and in truth now, if we can worship Him in spirit and in truth hours on end in heaven, then if we're worshiping in spirit and in truth here on earth, we should be able to dominate our feelings and dominate the flesh to the point to where we could worship Him for hours on end here on earth. Again, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because your flesh and your emotions will fight you very intently on things like this, but it can be done. If we begin to build ourselves up spiritually, our spirit will want to worship. I mean, it wants to worship now. It's just that if you're not trained to do this, you're taught to hold it back and all these other things, then it's bottled up on the inside of you. The flesh sees no value to worship. But as long as the flesh dominates the spirit, the worship is going to be hindered. But boy, I'll tell you, when you get that whole situation reversed, and praying in tongues helps along with the worship, you get that reversed and your spirit begins dominating the flesh, it is going to be a whole new world opened up to you. Because when your spirit, your new nature, is dominating all this other stuff in your life, and you begin to worship Him, you will begin to enter into greater dimensions of His presence. A lot of this kind of teaching is really faith teaching, because so few people in the body of Christ have ever experienced what worship can do. So therefore, we have to take it, well, all right, if Scripture says this, remember I shared my testimony with you about praying in tongues? I had never experienced what praying in tongues can do for a person. I just heard what it could do. So I decided, what can hurt? I'll start praying in tongues and see what happens. So I started praying in tongues. Glory to God. It worked. It's the same thing with worship. Think about this. What can be wrong about worshiping Jesus? What can be so bad about spending extended time in a church service worshiping Jesus? What can be wrong in taking an entire service and just using it to do nothing but worship Jesus? How can that be wrong? It can't be, and it isn't. Do you understand? When we get to heaven, there's going to be a whole lot more worship than there is teaching. Down here on earth, we don't diminish the value of the teaching, but we need to emphasize more than what we have in the past the value of the worship. When you talk about worshiping in spirit and in truth, some people talk about, well, all this hand lifting and dancing and boogieing and all this other stuff. You know, I don't want to get into flesh. Well, the problem is, you are a spirit in a flesh body, so you have no choice but to get in the flesh. In other words, if your flesh isn't doing something, nothing's happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, we understand what people sometimes mean by that. Well, a lot of folks just use that for just a lame excuse.
Well, I don't want to get in the flesh. If the Spirit moves me, then I'll begin to worship the Lord.
Dear heart, the Spirit moved you. You're born again. Now, you're the one that needs to do this. You choose to praise and worship the Lord. If you're waiting for the Holy Ghost to come along and give you a quick in your spiritual rump, it's not going to happen. You do it. You choose to do it. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will. And there are passages in here that we've got. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it talks about offering up to God the sacrifice of the fruit of our lips, you know, praise. It's a sacrifice sometimes because you don't feel like doing it. But when you push past the emotions, you're going to force yourself to do something. And you're going to say, hands, you may have come into this church service depressed, but you're not going to stay depressed. I'm going to praise the Lord. So hands, get up, lift up, raise up in honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I will bless you, Lord Jesus. Hey, listen, just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I'm always in the mood to do these things. Sometimes I have come out and maybe I haven't felt as much like raising my hands. And I'll tell you this, there have been times where there have been like maybe some aches and pains to where there was some discomfort in lifting my hands. But you know what? I made myself do it. Why? Why, Brother Martin? Because Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. And He deserves my praise. And He deserves my glory. And, you know, if my joints want to ache a little bit in the process, they're just going to have to get over it. Because I want to praise Him. I want to worship Him. This whole thing of worshiping in the flesh or in the spirit, there are two basic categories of worship, corporate and private, with and without music in both of these categories. And the goal is free worship. And the more that you do this, the more that you do this privately, the more it will begin to carry over into your church service. Now, if you go to a church where they hinder this, you're going to run into some problems. But if you go to a church where this is encouraged, man, the private worship, I know where I'm headed in worship, and I know where I've been. And there is no way for me to adequately convey to you what's going to happen until you do this. That's why it may seem like maybe I'm a little overboard at times. It's because I want you to experience what can happen. Take those goofy emotions, your stupid pride, and all this other dumb stuff that means nothing in the eyes of God. Crucify the flesh. Put it to death and turn your spirit loose and worship Him. Forget about what people think about your singing voice. Who cares? By the time it reaches to heaven, you're an opera singer. That's what God hears. It's beautiful music to His ears. Worship Him and experience the fullness of what this can do for you. The Holy Ghost is not going to make you worship. We've got several verses in here. Look over in Psalm chapter 7. Turn way back over there. And I don't know if we'll read all of these here tonight, but I do want you to go back and read these. In Psalm chapter 7, verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Notice He says, I will. He doesn't say, the Lord made me. He says, I will. I will praise the Lord. Over in Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. You understand? That word show forth, it doesn't simply mean to act something in the flesh. It means I will openly declare. You can't do that if you're not doing it. Understand? In verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Look what He says. I will be glad. You get into mully grubs, like we were talking about earlier? Talk to yourself. Don't worry about needing psychiatric care. Talk to yourself and say, self, you will be glad, and you will worship the Lord, and you will experience His presence in praise and worship. So worship Him, self. Make self do it. He says in here, I will do this. Look over in Psalm 22, in verses 22 and 23. He says, I will declare Thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All ye the seed of Israel. In verse 22, I'm the one doing it. In verse 23, I'm turning around and saying, what's wrong with you people? Come on, worship the Lord with me. Praise the Lord with me. He's worthy of our praise and our worship. Verses 25 and 26, He says, my praise shall be of Thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. In other words, again, He's saying, look, I don't care who's there or who's watching. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And these other psalms that are recorded, there are so many. Just go through and read the psalms. And you're going to see time after time, David is saying, I will, I will, I will. Not the Lord made me, the Lord forced me, I will. He was choosing to do this. So yes, from that perspective, you can get in the flesh, but it's because you're choosing to force yourself to worship Him, not expecting God to come along and make you. And this really is one of the crossroads. It's like, you have to do this. If it's going to happen, you have to do it. God is not going to knock you in the head. You have to do it. You have to make your hands raise. You have to make your mouth open. You have to make the sounds that are coming out, as Paul said, in the spirit and with the understanding. You have to do this. And if you're going to dance before the Lord, you know, how many of you realize you can't do anything unless you do something? So if dancing takes place, it's because something's moving. Are you with me? So yeah, you'd get in the flesh, but you're focusing on Jesus, and that's the difference right there. Your focus on Jesus. Now let's close this session out with a prophecy that came forth here in our church. As my son told you in my word, the time now is when they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Think closely upon my words. I said, those are the ones that I am seeking. This means, hear me, church, your worship is like a magnet unto me, and it draws me into your presence. Those who do not worship me will not draw me into their presence this way. Now hear what I say, for I am telling you this night of things which are coming in this world. The lions are becoming more distinct within my body. I have said, and do not dismiss my words lightly, that I seeketh such to worship me. Again I say unto you, those who do not worship me will not be drawing me into their presence. This is true for the churches as well. Those who do not worship me will not experience my presence like the churches that do worship me. For again I say unto you, your worship is as a magnet, and it draws me into your presence. Now hear what I say. The difference between non-worshipping and worshipping Christians is going to become greater and greater and greater as the days go by. The difference between worshipping and non-worshipping churches is going to become greater and greater and greater as the days go by. Yes, take note of this. You will see this come to pass. The worshipping churches and believers will continue to worship me with ever-increasing intensity, and those that don't will be left in the distance as revival breaks out. For you see, revival will take place in the believers and in the churches that worship me. And I say to you this night, there is coming an increased persecution directed toward the believers and churches that worship me. And it is not going to come from the world, it's going to come from other churches and other believers. For you see, the power that is getting ready to be released through worship is going to expose the hypocrisy of many churches and many believers, and they are not going to like what is happening, and they are going to criticize in response. But I say unto you, if you will be strong, and if you will worship me, and if you will make your church known as a church that worships me, my presence will strengthen you to endure whatever criticism comes your way. Know this night that there are those who say they are seeking me, and I am going to direct them into churches that are worshiping churches. But once they get there, the insincerity in their heart will be exposed before the service is 30 minutes old, because my presence in the worship will expose it, and they will become uncomfortable. Some will leave before the worship is over, and they will speak of you as though you are the ones who are missing me. But I say unto you, your worship is like a magnet to me. It draws me into your presence. Remember, I said, I am seeking such to worship me. Therefore, when I find them, I will make their place my habitation. I will exist in their presence. Also know this, that not all worshiping churches will be filled with worshiping Christians. There will be some who will continue to live out their days not worshiping me. Oh, they will sing songs, but they will not worship me. I say to you this night, have no pity on them, for they have been told the truth. I say to you this night, do not worry about them. Yes, they are going to be used less and less in their churches. Those that had once seemed strong and mighty in me, you'll begin to see them for what they really are. They're not as strong as maybe what you thought. You see, head knowledge cannot replace my anointing. So again I say unto you, worship me, worship me, worship me. Draw me into your presence, draw me into your churches, and you will see me demonstrate myself in ways that have not yet been seen. I am God, and you can turn my power loose through your worship. So never stop worshiping me. Never let your emotions control your worship. Never stop lifting your voice. Never stop following the pattern that I have given to you in my word. Again, I say unto you, I seek for those who worship me, and when I find them, I join their presence. Just as truth is increasing in my church, and there is a clash even now between right and wrong doctrine, worship will also be a dividing line within the church in these last days. And if you are a worshiper, if you will make yourself a worshiper, and if you will make your churches worshiping churches, you shall be on the right side of that line, says the Spirit of the Lord. Heavy stuff. Do you think the Lord is interested in our worship? Do you think He wants us to be worshipers? You better believe it. Conclusion. Satan has fought praise and worship and deceived many churches away from worshiping. But if Christians want to go deeper in their walk with God, knowing His presence and power, praise and worship must be a part of their churches and their private life. Praise the Lord. Now in our next session, we're going to spend the entire session worshiping the Lord, similar to what we did the last time in the last session. Only this time, the whole session is going to be used up in praise and worship. And I am looking forward to it. And again, keep in mind that these tapes cannot be duplicated. That's part of the agreement that we have with Hillsong, that we won't duplicate these tapes beyond school use. So again, I want to encourage you of that. So let's take a break. And when we come back, praise God, be ready to worship. Amen.